We are just about 2 weeks away from Election Day. As we've talked about here, there is a growing concern about what may happen not just after votes are cast and counted, but also during the actual voting process. Already there have been people with cameras hanging out around early voting drop boxes, for example. Current poll workers are becoming former poll workers because of intimidation, which more of that is also expected. Voter intimidation, that's another dark cloud hanging over what should be a time of freedom and democracy. With us now to examine these and other matters is a voting rights and liability trial attorney, author of Voting, the Ultimate Act of Resistance, and creator of the online resource Voting for Beginners, Richard C. Bell. Thanks for being here today, Richard.
My pleasure, Chris.
VotingForBeginners.com, and learn more about Richard's legal profession. The number is 877-CALL-LAW.com, and we do have those links over at our homepage. It's an overused phrase, Richard, I know, but these really are, as far as especially American elections are concerned, unprecedented times, are they not?
Oh, very much so. So I've been doing voter protection work for decades. And in light of what happened in 2020, we have gone to places we've never gone before.
Steve Bannon going to prison for 4 years, for 4 months, rather, 4 years. There was a
promise. Yeah, 4 years would have been great, but okay, 4 months is still better than not.
Well, but then again, is this going to turn up the crazy versus what we've seen already with someone like that and people that follow everything that he spews out?
Okay, so my answer to that is really simple. Voting is a fundamental right. It's the right from which all other rights are derived. So we can never, ever be in fear of exercising this fundamental right. You're going to be safe at your polling place. Election workers, generally speaking, I think are going to be safe. But we can't ever give in to the fear from these insurrectionists and election deniers and anti-democratic vigilantes. We just can't. We're better than that. So we just have to go exercise our right to vote and vote in the people that we believe will do what we want on our issues as well as protect our democracy.
Well, certainly, too, as I mentioned with the introduction, with the people standing with their camera phones at the early ballot drop boxes, if you're following the rules, following the laws as a voter, wave to the camera, smile, and, you know, make fun of them.
Say hello. Actually, it one of the acts of voter intimidation is taking photos or videos of voters. So you can have those people reported. There are cameras installed by election officials at those drop boxes, but nobody should be taking a picture of you casting your ballot.
Well, that's the thing, too. It's important for the states to be proactive on this matter as far as laws to protect voters, laws to give voters recourse, which there are many in place, but the awareness of them, I think, is what's lacking there. There have several states which put together, Colorado called it the Election Official Protection Act, that toughens criminal penalties for intimidating election officials, because these are people who, yeah, you get a couple of $100 for a day's work, which is nice, but they're also playing an important role, and we need to preserve the willingness to serve in that role.
Yes, so election officials, poll workers, they are the heroes of the voting system, and they should be treated that way. And that's why there have been two major reforms since 2020. One is there's the U.S. Justice Department, as of 2021, they created a new department. It's called the Election Threats Task Force. And it's specifically designed to investigate any threats to election workers and election officials. They've investigated over 1,000 complaints. They've had 7 prosecutions. They're supported by the FBI and Homeland Security. And they are extremely well aware of what is going on out there, and they have been monitoring it, will continue to monitor it, will monitor it on Election Day and during early voting. So you can rest assured that they, along with local and state law enforcement, are extremely aware of the situation. The second thing that's happened is that there have been an increase in federal funds for election administrators, and under the Help America Vote Act, which is an old act, but there's allocations of money, and there's 2022, another $75 million for protection of election officials, and that's been used for things like cameras and personal security and plexiglass at vote counting places, security fences at vote counting places, and things of that nature. So it's not as if under the new administration things haven't been done. A lot has been done that many voters are not aware of.
Start with Attorney Richard C. Bell, also author of Voting, the Ultimate Act of Resistance, creator of a great online resource, too, especially for younger voters, Voting for Beginners, which you can find at votingforbeginners.com. Richard's legal aspect of his life, the number is 877-CALL-LAW.com, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Want to talk about poll watchers, because, and this isn't an exaggeration, I've heard them, I've seen them post online. There are people out there who think that they're basically self-deputizing themselves as poll watchers, making it sound like all I have to do is show up at a lawn chair and my beer cooler. I can be the new sheriff in town. I'm going to watch out for them voter frauders. That's not how it works, is it?
No, and it does vary by state. In places like New Jersey, it's excellent. Places like Georgia and Texas, not so good. So basically, in theory, and I've done a lot of poll watching, I'll do it again this year, I'm going to be out in Pennsylvania, poll watchers, they're basically both inside and outside polls. They're usually appointed by campaigns. They usually have to get credentialed, depending on the state law, to be inside. And the basic job is a good thing. It's to make sure the process is transparent and give the public confidence in the integrity of the system. But they're there to observe, to see if there's anything untoward going on, to inform election officials if they believe there's a problem, and to report it to campaign officials that can bring it up with election officials or the courts. So that's the good news. The bad news is there are a group of people that you just identified, and in certain states they can do this, where they become these what they call election observers, but their real goal, and it was really capsuled nicely by Bea Wen, she's running for Secretary of State in Georgia, and she said, look, in Georgia you can make as many challenges, meaning you challenge the voter at the polls through the election official and say, I don't think this address is correct or this registration isn't correct and they shouldn't be allowed to vote, and then the election official has to rule on it. But really what's going on is frivolous challenges, and they're really designed, as she said, to sow chaos, confusion, and intimidation. And what really happens is when those kinds of things go on, especially in places like Georgia and Texas, which is designed for those people to run amok, what happens is it's not just the individual voter who's being challenged, which is awful and there's no merit to it at times, but the lines are starting to grow outside because they're challenging every voter. It's a process. Things take time. It's supposed to be in and out, in and out, in and out. And that's voter suppression on steroids, because making lines greater than 30 minutes creates problems. People don't like to wait. I completely understand that. And when it's being done as a designated plan, that is awful. That is voter suppression.
Some would say, well, the easy solution is just keep those particular polls open longer, but there is a process for that, but that is a time consumer.
Yes, so polls, if you're in line by the time the polls in your state close, as long as you're in line, you do get to vote, no matter how long it takes after the polls close, because someone comes out from the polling place, an official, and says, okay, I'm putting down the cone. It's 8 o'clock, it's 9 o'clock, everybody who's online now up to this cone is fine, anybody behind it can't vote. But like you said, the problem becomes that some people just get frustrated and they leave the line. And extending voting times in states is extremely difficult. You've got to get a court order to do it, and judges are reluctant to do it, depending on the state. A state like New Jersey is terrific. The judges basically go by the credo that there's nothing more important than people being able to vote, and will give every benefit of the doubt to make that happen. But I wouldn't want to be in Texas or Georgia or Florida.
Well, Florida's a whole other story, too. We've seen the governor and be enthusiastic about body cam footage of people through just false information. There'd be former convicts who were handed when they went for a driver's license. Here's your voter registration. And if they're legitimately ignorant, they'll fill it out. And then they'll be told, well, you're breaking the law. But, you know, again, it's a matter of being aware as a voter as well. There is responsibility on voters' part. But at the same time, there was voter fraud in a retirement village, primarily by Trump supporters. And in that case, they were allowed to turn themselves in. No police were required or called for.
Right. So I actually, multiple times, have done voter protection in Florida. So I've seen this firsthand. And I think the premise that we have to begin with is, it is an absolute lie that there has ever been massive voter fraud in America. There are studies done by the Conservative Heritage Foundation, the Liberal Brennan Center for Justice, and the academic MIT lab. And so all of them concluded the same thing. It is infinitesimal, the amount of voter fraud that goes on in the country. It is so small that it does not affect elections, and it's just a lie to say it does. So we need to begin with the facts. That premise, but what's going on in Florida is disgusting because, at least according to the attorneys for these people that voted, they were given advice by election officials or places where they went to register at the DMV that go ahead, you are allowed to vote. And when you rely on a state actor, meaning someone who works for the government who says that, that is a reasonable argument that there is absolutely no intent to commit voter fraud.
Again, the website votingforbeginners.com, it's great, especially for the younger voters. It's a great refresher course if maybe you've been a little lax in your civic duty and want to get a little reinforcement about what your rights are, what your duties are, and responsibilities are as a voter. You can find that and a lot more at votingforbeginners.com. Richard also has a great book, Voting, the Ultimate Act of Resistance, where he shows you and demonstrates how voting is indeed your voice of empowerment. And for his legal work, for voters, for all points to other cases as well, his website for his legal work is, the number is 877-CALL-LAW.com. We've got those links at our website for you to reference and hopefully put to use as well, because as you hear, Richard has some very valuable information through personal experience and knowledge. And Richard, we thank you for sharing some of that here with us today.
Chris, thank you so much. Thanks for bringing up this important topic. And tell everybody, early, 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 my first three rules of voting, vote early, vote early, vote early.